Hello, thank you for calling Podcast Phone. For Barely Podcasting, press 1.
Hi, this is Barely from Barely Podcasting Podcast.
Congratulations, you have selected the Barely Podcasting Podcast. The Barely Podcasting Podcast is barely funny.
Blah, blah, blah.
Barely provocative.
Blah, blah, blah.
And barely spontaneous.
So that's what I've been doing at work, trying to match my voice to the sound of the drills and the pressure things and all the gadgets and gadgets.
What? Oh, sorry. Sometimes funny, sometimes provocative. Oh, my bad. The Barely Podcasting Podcast is
sometimes funny. Sometimes provocative.
I like being without any clothes on, first of all.
But don't take my word for it.
Hi, this is the Round the Twist team from www.twistcast.co.uk. I'm Aaron, and I can barely unicycle.
I'm Tom, and I can barely juggle.
I'm Adam, and I can barely walk.
I'm Paul, and I can barely sugar.
No, Paul, that's barley sugar.
Barely podcasting.
And now, your host who's barely just arrived... Barely!
Yes, I'm here, it's me, I've come back, I'm now on episode number 36, and we're back into the rotation, folks, of shows that have sent in an intro for me, and I kind of have that nice little segment that I just can drop them in, boom, done. So, yeah, that was the Round the Twist guys again. I love that intro, I just think it is cool. So, thanks guys again. On today's show, we have a new squad car in Illinois. My butt itches. And yes, I did wipe, so it's not that. Get your mind out of the gutter, people. Radio stations and telemarketing. I don't get it anymore. They have to be scared of us, folks. They have to be scared of us podcasters and you guys, the podcast listeners, leaving them. I think they get a hint. I look like a genius, I know, shocker of shockers, but I do. I am a genius at some point. I need a 12-step program for YouTube. Watching a guy take pictures, I have my reviews, and also, I have my Japan story. And yes, it was my anniversary weekend this weekend, so hey, it's interesting that I'm actually able to get a show out. Go figure. Anyway, let's get right into the show. Tuesday morning, I'm driving to work just like I do every other morning, and I'm taking the normal route. I get on to what's called the Tri-State here in Chicago. It's 294. It connects Wisconsin, Illinois, and Indiana. Just one little stretch of road. And what also is kind of interesting about it is it goes outside the city of Chicago, so you don't ever have to get into the traffic of the city, which really can be a nightmare. But then again, Chicago traffic can be a nightmare in and of itself, so forget that. It's just a nightmare. Anyway, I'm driving in, and I'm getting to an area where I have to slow down, which always happens, and I look over to my left, and I see a car pulled over. But what pulled it over surprised the hell out of me. It was a camper, and it wasn't like a new camper. It was like a camper from 1987, kind of beat up, old, kind of rickety almost. But it had the lights on the front, and there was a cop walking out of it in full cop regalia. And the car he pulled over was a newer car. It definitely could have outdriven this camper. I mean, if you get pulled over by a camper, that has to be an instant revocation of your guy card. No matter what car you have, you should be able to outrun a camper. Lately, I found other places where I could find pants that I actually like, that are comfortable to wear, as well as they just fit right. And they have all the things that I'm kind of stupid about. They have the black pockets or the pockets that kind of match the color of the pant. So if you sit down and everything kind of bows out, which usually happens anyway, unless you have perfectly tailor-made pants, you don't notice it with, like, white just blaring at you. So I have these new pants, and the first day I wore a pair of them, I sat down and I'm like, man, my butt itches. Maybe it's just new pants, that kind of new pants, just breaking in, kind of overly starched because it's been sitting on the shelf for so long. And I don't normally wash my pants, but I'd rip off all the tags that I could find. What I forgot to do was take those little tags thingies that kind of come through and hold, like, some of the cardboard pieces on. There's usually four of them in a pocket. I forgot to take those little pieces out, the little end pieces. I mean, you rip it off, and they break, and you're kind of like, okay, well, those are done. Never have to worry about them. I had four of these things sticking me in the right buttock all day at work. And I thought other things at work were just a pain in the ass. Well, I guess this one was now. For my job, folks, I have to really go through and work on a specific database. I use my email, and I use this one database. That's 90% of my job, is to go through and work within these two. Well, it's an email database, really, so it's working in two databases. Well, one of them went down, and when it went down hard. It still allowed me to do a lot of things I need to into it, but yet when I'm trying to work with a new project, it will not work properly. So I call our IT department, which we outsourced. So it's this other company that thinks they can do it as good as people used to do it when they were all our people. Well, they're not our people anymore. So they need to get special permission to come over and work on something they created to begin with. They know how it runs. They know how it's set up. They know everything about it. And yet they need special permission. I'm using the air quotes here too. Special permission to work on something they created. This IT outsourcing is killing me, because normally what would happen is I would call down and say, hey, look, I need to talk to so-and-so. This thing is broken. And they'd be like, okay, no problem. That person would get back to me within like an hour. And then all of a sudden, we'd get it fixed. It's been down for a week, folks. I mean, everything they say, they're like, oh, well, we think we got it back up and running. 20 minutes later, it's down again, and I can't do a thing. So I'm sending emails out to the whole department saying, don't use this database. Use the database. Don't use the database. Use the database. Don't use the database. I'm looking pathetic is what it's going on, is because I'm constantly sending these things out. And when I do talk to the IT people, they're like, oh, well, we'll get to it when we can. And I'm like, no. You don't understand. My job is pretty much dead. You're hurting a whole department because we all use this database. I'm pretty much the administrator of it, but I don't know the coding behind it. And this guy just is like, oh, okay, we'll get to it when we can. I'm really ready to just say I'm going to hire podcasting IT folks so that I can maybe even get a corporate podcast off the ground, which was my initial idea to get out to the expo this year anyway, which obviously didn't happen. But yeah, I just need to have more podcasting IT folks in my IT department that are in with my real department so that these things don't happen. I mean, it's just getting ridiculous now that we cannot do anything at work anymore, which makes it really slow at work. I am so bored, you should see me all over message boards and everything, because I'm just posting everywhere. I have nothing else to do. When I got my new cell phone, I thought it was very similar to the one that I currently had, or that I had previous, where I can very easily kind of switch, okay, you're on vibrate, you're off vibrate so you can hear things, everything's shut off. I mean, it was real simple button controls. This phone, even though I do like the phone, I cannot figure this thing out. It's killing me. Folks, I just do not understand how to turn it off vibrate, or turn it on to vibrate. Because I really want to get it on to vibrate so when I'm at work, I can kind of shut it down a little bit so you don't have to hear the funny monkey noises that go on whenever my phone rings, which is how I have my phone set up now. It's monkeys! And my little girl, when she hears my phone ringing, she's like, ooh, daddy, monkeys! I'm like, yes, honey, it's monkeys. Daddy, we're monkeys. And I'm like, honey, they're in my phone. Can I see phone? I mean, that's the whole exchange that keeps going on every time my cell phone goes off. But fortunately, Or, I should say, unfortunately for the people at work, they too have to hear the monkeys. Which is not always the best thing, namely when you're working in a pretty stress-induced environment and stuff like that. So, when all of a sudden I started getting phone calls from a 1-800 number, that began to worry me. First of all, is my phone being shut off because they screwed up my bill, which it seems like every cell phone company has done at one point or another. And I kind of figured this was going to be, oh, we screwed up your cell phone. You now owe us $8,000, blah, blah, blah. Well, it wasn't that, but I let it to go into voicemail. No message. I'm in a meeting, and this is a meeting with some kind of the higher-ups in the company, and all of a sudden it goes off, and fortunately I'm getting to know the initial start of the sound, which is very, very subtle, but if I hear it, I can reach down and kind of send it straight into a busy signal or something. I don't know what it does, but it just shuts off the external speaker once it's happening, so every time it rings, you have to do it. It's not one of those things where you can just say, hey, I'm going to shut it off, and it's going to stay off forever, and yay, I'm happy. I have to do this every stinking time it goes off. But it started going off like 6 or 7 times, and it was always from this 1-800 number. I had no clue what number this was. So finally, it rings once, and there was no one around me, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to check it out. It was a stinking radio station. One that I don't even listen to. I don't know how they got my phone number, but they addressed me with my full name. Well, not my middle name, but my first and last name. They knew how to get in touch with me. So somehow along the lines, I had given them my cell number, which is usually if I know it's something that they're going to eventually maybe have to get in touch with me, I give them the cell number. If it's something where I know I'm going to be contacted because it's telemarketing, I give them a bogus number. But, oh my God, I mean, this radio station was just relentless, and they're like, oh yeah, this is between such and such and such and such a time, and you will be entered to win the contest of, like, $30, woo! I just was like, I'll listen then. Okay, bye. That's how I kind of left it. I still don't know which radio station it was, folks. I know it's one I've never listened to, or if I did, I listened to it maybe 3 times and signed up for something to see if I could get, like, a free movie pass or something. I don't get it, but why not leave a stinking message? Namely, when someone says, hi, this is so-and-so's cell phone. You think they might be busy? I mean, and they never called outside of like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was like, okay, that's retarded. You should be calling at different times of the day if you're not getting to someone at the same time every damn day. Friday morning, I got into work, and I mean, it was just kind of one of those simple things. I'm in at work, and I'm setting up, I'm turning my computer on, and someone comes over, and we'd been in this other meeting just a couple days before, and she was to ask me how I thought it went, and I'm like, oh, okay, and how did you think it went? And we started talking about other things that maybe we can help out with this, and then she looks at me and says, you're kind of a techie guy. I'm like, well, depends on what you define as techie. She's like, well, I'm not looking for anything like, can you rebuild my computer or anything? Which, honestly, I probably could do anyway. I just found out I'm going to be doing it for my wife's boss. So, hey, maybe they'll give me a nice donation. And that'll go into my expo fund for 07. Yeah, that's how I'm doing it, as I'm, like, stripping out computers and rebuilding them. And hopefully that'll give me enough money that I might actually be able to give other podcasters a drink when I'm out there listening to Corby's latest show. It's expensive to do that. I might just have to take my own drinks with me. But again, I'm digressing. I should just name the show Barely Tangent, because I just tangent on every story. And here, I tangented off a tangent. That takes skill, folks. But getting back to the original point, this lady's talking with me, and all of a sudden she's like, hey, you're a techie guy. I'm like, yeah. She's like, can you help me out with something? I need to make... I was on a radio interview, and I got a... or CD of it, but I want to save it and email it. So can you get it into a format I can email? I'm like, sure, no problem. What do you want? And she's like, MP3? I'm like, go get it for me. She walks away, comes back maybe 2 minutes later. In this time, I've launched iTunes. And I put it in, and it downloaded it and kind of pulled everything off. Yeah, I mean, it's the simple, you put the disc in, it imports it, blah, 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 you're done. And she's like, you are so smart. I mean, she is praising me up and down. I'm like, it's putting it into iTunes and making an MP3 out of it. It's not that difficult. But, of course, I'm not saying that, but that's running through my mind. It's like, I'll take the praise, but hey, I don't know. I mean, that was like one of the easiest things I could do to make myself look like a genius. I think next time, folks, I'm going to tie my shoe in front of everybody and look even smarter. Well, folks, I have a new addiction. YouTube. Yeah, I know, they just got bought out by Google and all that. I want to know what... I really wish I could come up with a $1.65 billion idea as well. That would just be cool, because I think I would just, like, stop working. At that point, it's like, I'm a billionaire. Go bite me. I would insult, like, everybody I could, just because I could. And it wouldn't have to. I wouldn't have to worry about reviews or anything along those lines that you do at work. I'd just be insulting people just for kicks. Yeah, no, I wouldn't, because I'd be too afraid of, oh, what do they think of me? I'm too much of a people pleaser, I think you can say, so I'd never be able to just do the insults, but it would still be fun to be able to think that I could. I've been watching YouTube now over lunch. Andrew and I Andrew from Chat Buffet and I have been watching this. Yes, I know we should be putting out another show, but when we have one that's almost ready to go out, I tell you, folks, there's things I'm ready to make announcements here and there about Chat Buffet, but I can't do it right now because it's not this show. But yes, we are watching YouTube, and we are just going through and scrolling through just stupid ideas. And we're beginning to run out of really funny things that we can just find with random searches. And we've seen just like parodies upon parodies upon parodies. I mean, we are now addicted to the fact that we're watching TV shows in three pieces on YouTube, because that's the way that they can be imported, and they were pilots that really never went anywhere, but we're watching them. So yeah, I'm now a YouTube addict, and if you know of any like cool YouTube threads that just start and keep going and going and going, please let me know, because I get bored at lunch really, really quick. And I just don't want to have to talk to someone. I mean, that's kind of odd. I'd rather talk to myself right into a microphone. Yeah, like that's normal, everyday lunchtime kind of thing to do. I know, I hear you all talking about it, but hey, I entertain you. I do that. On Friday, I was out with a couple friends, and we were... Oh, it was at work, and we were just out having a cigarette break. And it was such a slow day for me. I was taking, like, breaks left and right, just because I had nothing else to do. I really had nothing else to do. Yeah, it's all going back to that database being down. With that database being down, there's not much I can do. I mean, it is that bad. I have to really work on this database, and if I can't touch it, there's no reason for me to be at work. But hey, I'm getting paid for it, so I'll be paid for sitting there for doing very, very little, because there is very, very little I can do. It's odd. We're standing there, and we're next to our building, and they don't let us. They took away our smoke break room, and so now everyone has to be outside, and everyone's outside. And all of a sudden, I look over across this patio that we're on. And there's a guy taking, and I think I've mentioned this before, I work in a pretty high building. I think there's like 25, 30 floors on it. I mean, it's tall. And there's this guy, and he looks he really did look Asian from the view I got of him. But he is standing almost right at the base, looking straight up and taking pictures. Now, 6 years ago, this wouldn't have bothered me. this kind of bugged me a little bit. It's like, okay, why are you taking pictures of my building? And yeah, we're close to a major shopping mall, but still, why are you taking pictures of my building? But then also looking at this kid's age, and we're near kind of an artsy school kind of thing. It could be this guy was just walking around and saw this. He's like, ooh, for art picture, art class, I'm just going to take random pictures. But yet at the same time, he had no identifying marks or anything. I mean, it was very, very simple. I mean, if I didn't notice him taking pictures, I would not have picked him out of a crowd. So, I don't know. I think my building's going to have a terrorist activity. No, it's not. I shouldn't even say that because all of a sudden the FBI is going to come over and knock, knock, knock. What the hell are you talking about? That's one I would definitely have to have the iRiver out for. It's like, here was my FBI interrogation because of a comment I made on episode 36. So the government's watching. And then listen to the whole thing. I'd make sure I'd put it down and I'd be like, okay, fine, you want to talk to me, you have to be able to state anything on here, which I can broadcast any way I please because that's mine. And you're doing this and it's in my home. So, yes. But again, I digress. But I don't know. I mean, it just was kind of weird seeing this kid. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe 21, 18 to 21, somewhere in that range. Taking pictures of my building, standing right at the base of it and going straight up. It could have just been for an art project, but I don't know. It's weird. And no one else seemed to notice him, so I could have been the only witness on this one. Help me, please. If all of a sudden the show goes dead, you know I've been kidnapped. Okay, yeah, that's too melodramatic. Where am I getting the drama, folks? I don't know. Now, folks, this weekend was my sixth wedding anniversary. And my wife and I had kind of nice plans set up. I'd been talking with Lisa and Joe from Cheap Date. About where I should go. And, of course, I'm thinking suburbs. My wife tells me last minute, oh, let's go downtown. So, everything I'd been planning out didn't work. But, still, it was kind of nice to be able to talk with another show about kind of what they specialize in. So, yeah, Cheap Date, good show. Check them out. And, yes, there will be a link in the show notes on this one. But they're not my review. So, yeah, don't, not yet. But my mother-in-law has decided she is staying with us for a few days. My wife cannot tell my mother no. I don't know why. She just can't. And whenever my mother-in-law decides she's going to stay with us for a few days, or more of a couple weeks, my wife gets on edge. She knows my mother-in-law, and early on in the show, I know I've mentioned that I don't get along with my mother-in-law all that great. Well, my wife knows that. And she gets tense whenever my mother-in-law stays over. I mean, my mother-in-law kind of have an understanding. Stay away from me, I stay away from you, everyone's fine. I don't know why my wife gets so uptight, but she does. And when it falls over our anniversary, that kind of ticks me off. Because then my wife gets crabby, and it's always at me. I'm the man out. I'm the single man out. Because my mother-in-law is divorced. And I think just hates all men. And unfortunately, unlike Corby, whose mother-in-law had someone that was banging her, my mother-in-law doesn't. So, she has the anger against any human with a penis. And that would be me. And I'm the only one in my household that has one. So it's like, I'm just kind of screwed the whole way around. Yay. But yeah, so we're driving downtown and my wife is just, you could just tell she's kind of boiling a little bit. And before we left the house, my mother-in-law had disappeared and my wife was getting ready and I go upstairs just to see what's going on with my wife and my mother-in-law sitting there and she's talking really, really, really soft so that I couldn't hear. And then all of a sudden I show up, she's like, I'll tell you about the rest of it later. It's like, wait a minute. And she's, I mean, makes no acknowledgement of me at all. I mean, we kind of keep a little bit of a distance, but still, I just wonder what my mother-in-law was feeding into my wife's head. That made my wife crabby a little bit. She got over it later in the evening. I mean, it was a fun evening that we had, but still. What a start of your anniversary is. Crabby wife because of mother-in-law. God, I hope my mother-in-law never decides to move in, because then I am screwed. I might as well just build a shed in the backyard and live there, because I will get nothing else. I will have no headway in the rest of the house if my mother-in-law starts living with me. Scary. Scary thought. Okay, I'm going to go and get psychotherapy now, because this is scaring me too much. Barely's time in Japan. No wonder they call us ugly Americans. Okay, my story for Japan this week isn't really something specific to Japan, but it is more something that did happen while I was over there. And it happened early on. And also October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so it does definitely tie in. And I'll kind of go through just how the whole thing happened. At the end of every school year, my father's company shipped my mother, my sister, and I back for pretty much the whole summer back to the States, where we would see family and friends and do all that kind of stuff and kind of be a traveling freak show almost, because you didn't have a place to live for 3 months. I mean, you were living in a hotel for 3 months. You would buy clothes, but then you would have them immediately shipped back because my father couldn't take 3 months off of work. But he would usually be at home and then fly out a couple times over the summer, and we'd all be getting together and, yay, big family thing. But for the most part, it was just my mom, my sister, and I. Oh, so much fun living in a hotel room for 3 months. I was so glad to get back to Japan, because then we could have our own separate rooms, and I missed that. I really did miss that in those days. But towards the end of the first summer we were home, my mother had to go through and do her women doctor things, and so she did all of that and found news that she had a lump. Lump in, I don't know if it was one breast or both breasts, but she had a lump. And they did a biopsy on it, but we were not going to get the results until we got back to Japan. I mean, it was not the most wisely planned doctor visit to do that one right at the end. I mean, that one should have been kind of an early one, so that in case something happened, you were already there instead of going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So my mom was freaked out. And then we get back to Japan. School starts, and within 2 days, we get the news it was cancer. So my mom my mom and my dad immediately flew back to the States. Left my sister and I there with a handful of babysitters. Over the weekend, we were with one of my mom's friends who I honestly, nice people. I wouldn't want to be their kid, though. They were very, you do this at this time, and you do it this way. Not, my folks let my sister and I kind of, okay, we do it, but we do it when we want to and how we want to. So it kind of let us be a little bit more creative in all of our answers and actions and stuff like that. But we're having to deal with this. I mean, was that one day that I went off to school, was that going to be the last time I would ever see my mother alive? Because she had a double mastectomy, which meant they kind of took both boobs and kind of cleaned them out, and that was that. That's how invasive this thing was. And in Japan, if you're a foreigner, I know I've mentioned this before, that you cannot be a foreigner because they will up the dosage of all the drugs that are needed, and then you become addicted to them, and you can never use them again, which is just very unfortunate. But in that 3 months that my mother was back in the States, my dad was flying back and forth. He was able to work a little bit from the States. He was planning a bunch of trips that he could get back there, and the company was very understanding because, hey, look, his wife could be on her deathbed. He should be there too, but he's also working, so hey, yay, we get our money out of him too. That left my sister and I stuck in Japan, talking to my mom about every 2 weeks over the phone, never knowing if we're going to see her again, which really does put kind of a family unit into a completely different perspective. And at the time, breast cancer really was not one of those things where everyone was talking about. I mean, Breast Cancer Awareness Month was not talked about. You had lung cancer. That was like the big thing was, ooh, lung cancer, not breast cancer. I mean, this kind of stuff wasn't. And when my mom eventually did come back to Japan, she came back in December, just before Christmas. And I nearly got kicked out of school because my grades were crap and all this. And then at the end of that school year, I also got like most improved in like 3 of my classes. And I was most improved in the whole stinking school because of it. And everyone thought I was just a genius. Of course I am a genius, but still. But when she came back to Japan, she kind of started a support group of women who were just finding out or who had found out or all this, because she was the first one, at least in all the organizations we were part of, that had gone through being a breast cancer survivor and still being a support person and being out there and saying, yes, I went through this. This is what happened. This is how I dealt with it. This is what you need to do. Here's blah, 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 blah. You know what all those things kind of do. It's called a support group. I don't know exactly. I've never really been a part of one. But because of it, I have come to think that breast cancer awareness isn't just for the woman. It's actually the whole system should be something that is brought very much to the attention of the whole family. Because if the woman of a family has breast cancer, it affects everybody. It'll affect the boyfriend / husband. It'll affect the kids. It'll affect the parents of that person. All those people will be affected by this one person's cancer. So when I say my mother is a breast cancer survivor, I also mean I am a breast cancer survivor because I went through it as well, right with her, but doing it completely different. And also being completely out of a normal support system that I would have had. So, yeah, that's my Japan story. Not as funny as normal, but hey, it's October. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And this will be the only time I'll probably do this one. So, yippee. Ha 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 ha. There's your laughs and all that. So, let's get on to something a little bit more happy. Okay, the show I'm going to review this week is Podcast 411. And I'm not doing this. I've been kind of scheduling now who I'm going to put where. And Podcast 411 was just, ironically, the one that went here. This week, this show. And if you've listened to Podcast 411, I left a comment 2 episodes ago. And on the latest episode, and Rob had made comment back to it, I mean, it was really me just kind of saying, hey, you're great, blah, 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 blah. And I rambled. Of course, if you've listened to any other show I'm ever on, I ramble on every stinking voicemail. I should leave everything to emails. But yet, I don't. I just get diarrhea of the mouth and keep going. Well, I had been meaning to talk to Rob or at least just send him a quick email saying, hey, look, I think you're doing a great job, blah, 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 blah. And he put out a show that was talking all about this Apple stuff that's been going on, Apple trying to sue for the name podcast and all this. And he kind of pulled all the podcasters off the ledge. I sent him an email saying, hey, you're doing great, and everyone refers to you, and you're like the best resource out there, blah, 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 blah. He put a kind of a funny tongue-in-cheek comment in before then saying, hey, if you want to get your voicemail heard, like Barely here, you can just kind of brown-nose the host extremely. And then on the last episode, he apologized for that. Well, and I am putting this huge big disclaimer at the beginning because this is not the reason why I'm doing a review of Podcast 411. It just happened to fall into my cycle of when I was going to hit it. But to push back and kind of say everything and kind of wrap that up, I have sent Rob an email also saying I wasn't offended by it at all. I thought it was hysterical because I was babbling on and on and on with my nose going deeper and deeper up his butt. Yes, I was kissing ass and my nose was extremely brown. hence the term brown noser, but I'm just going to leave that kind of sitting off to the side. Anyway, Podcast 411 is... its subtitle is Inside the Podcaster Studio, and it really is. Rob talks with a bunch of the bigger podcasters and occasionally kind of pulls in ones that are very appropriate to a time or subject that is hot at the moment. And he brings in these podcasters or people who are relevant to podcasting, and we'll talk about why they're doing what they're doing. Talk about maybe specific shows or something along those lines that these people have done. But Rob has such a strong format that it is just such fun to listen to. And that's only part of Podcast 411. Most of the other, all the other reviews I've done have really focused around the show. Rob's show is half the package. Rob will come through, give you kind of a couple ideas. Always has a really good show notes on every show mentioned, which I know I have to get better at. But one thing Rob also has is tutorials. And if you've ever been on any forum board anywhere and you've started talking about, oh, well, how do you do this or how do you do that? Odds are you're going to get a link to one of Rob's posts where he describes how to do whatever you're talking about. That's just how much of a resource Podcast 411 is. And honestly, without Rob from Podcast 411, you really would not have podcasting, I don't think, as developed as it is now. He is out there. He's always helping. When I was trying to develop a corporate podcast for my company so that they can send me out to the expo and I would be a happy camper, who was the first person I contacted? Was Rob. Just so that, because I know he is such in tune with everything that's going on in this industry, I figured, hey, I need to talk to Rob so that I can get this information. And also, and the show itself is a standalone product that is excellent. So you get kind of two-in-one with Rob and Podcast 411. So really, go check it out. Go check out the website. Go check out all the things he has listed there. And definitely listen to his show. It is an excellent show. It's one that I always look forward to. It comes out every Wednesday. And also, I do have another kind of link in with Rob. We both went to the same college, University of Dayton in Dayton, Ohio. We were separated by a few years, but we have talked about the differences of the university from when he was there to when I was there to now. And also, his son was born on my birthday recently. So there's always that, that kind of is like, hey, your son's born on like the greatest day ever because it's my birthday. And anyway, I think that's going to be pretty much it. So yeah, go listen to Rob at Podcast 411. Excellent show. You will very much be entertained by it, as well as if you are doing anything with podcasting, listening, or trying to put one out yourself, Rob is the place to really check it out and check out everything he has there. He has stuff for listeners as well as podcasters. So he is over at podcast411.com, and here is his promo. And if you haven't, and if you've never listened before, drop him an email or my chingo saying, hey, look, Rob, first-time listener, and I heard about you from Barely Podcasting.
Hello, I'm Wichita Rutherford from 5 Minutes with Wichita, and I'm here to tell you about the Podcast 411 podcast. Now, Rob, he interviews other podcasters to find out what they've learned about doing a podcast, and it's been described as inside the Actor's Studio, except it's for podcasts. His past guests include Adam Curry, he's the Podfather, Senator John Edwards, C.C. Chapman, PK&J, Bib and Yes, Chris Rockwell, and yours truly, Wichita Rutherford. That's just naming a few of them. Now, if you want to learn more about podcasting or podcasters, then you go over and visit them at podcast411.com. And remember, listen different with Podcast 411. It's just so precious.
Well, now we're into our final segment, folks. Yes, the one where I respond back to all the voicemails and emails. And with last week being so sparse with them, I have a whole slew of voicemails this week. So I'm just going to start going into them. I need to preface the first two. It's from Joe from Dallas. And Joe and I have been talking about there's this kind of beer festival. I can't remember the name of it. He will mention it in the second voicemail. But he was like, yeah, hey, come on down. It's just a quick drive down the interstate to Dallas. I'm in Chicago. Yeah, that's a quick drive, and it's my wedding anniversary, and don't think I could have pulled that one off. The event sounded cool, but yeah, so Joe actually, I think, left me four. One was a repeat, and one was just background noise. They were all from the same number, so I'm putting two in here. And Joe, yeah, and the second one also was drunk, so. Thanks, Joe. And here we go.
Yo, Barely. Joe in Dallas. It's not too late, man. If you hop in your car, you can get down to Shiner by noon when the gates are open. It's going to be beer, fries, barbecue, and fans. You want to be there, man. I'll see you there. Bye. Hey, Barely. It's Joe from Dallas. I'm down in Shiner, Texas right now, checking out Bocktoberfest 2006. Here's the guest of Joe from Joe's Pothole at joespothole.libsyn.com. Oh, www stuff in the front of it. You know about it. You asked for drunk dials? Well, here you go, man. Got snacks next up. Everything prior to this been fucking country. Which is bullshit, but, you know, it's worth waiting it out if you can only hear Godsmack. And I don't know what else, but there you go. I'll catch you later, man. Bye.
Joe, I still don't know why you don't do your own podcast, because I think you'd be really good at it. Namely, being drunk, and the only way I know you're drunk is you have to tell me. Dude, you did an excellent job. I really wish I could have been there. That just sounds like so much fun. I'm going to have to see what I can probably work out here in the future, but if it always falls right near October 14th, Joe, I can't get away for that one. Unless I bring my wife down and just say, hey, look, it's a big concert and we're going to go to it and it's going to be cool, and I'll just Google the Texas women. Yeah, that's a good idea for my wedding anniversary. I'm a dork. Anyway, yeah, Joe, it sounds like a blast, and maybe I will get down there sometime. I don't know. Okay, next one here is from Steve from the Wicked Good Podcast, and also Extra Points, where you get extra points. I don't know his tagline on that one, but it's the fantasy football one, which is where my fantasy football team is located. And by the way, anybody else who's in the league with me, the Extra Points All-Stars, I'm kicking your butts. I'm 5-0, and it potentially could go 6-0 this week because the team I played really got beaten up, and all my players play on Monday, so I don't even know yet. And as of this recording, I have no clue, but I'm still kicking your butts because I'm undefeated. So here is Steve.
Hey, Barely, it's Steve from Extra Points and the Wicked Good Podcast. I'm just listening to episode 35. I'm probably about halfway through on the Mass Pike on my way home from work. And your siren story reminded me of a little misadventure we've had with those weather split screens in TiVo. I think it was back when we were having all those big floods in, like, April or May. I don't remember what it was, but we had that, like, month in New England where it just rained nonstop, and we were watching, I guess it must have been Survivor, and one of those split screens comes up, and it's like, oh, you know, rain's pouring down, and there's flooding up in northern Mass, and this river is overflowing, and I'm looking outside, I'm like, it's not raining. What's going on? And it took me about 5 minutes to realize that the episode of Survivor we were watching was like a week old. Yeah, you're not the only dork. Anyway, great show. I'm still in the middle of it, but I'm sure the rest of it's good too. So, hope you're doing well. Talk to you soon. Bye.
And Steve, yeah, that was one of those things where that story, once I did it, I was watching something a few nights later. And yeah, I did the same thing. I'm like, I'm watching it. They do the split screen, and it wasn't until halfway through when I actually had walked outside to look at the stars in the sky. Because the weather map said that the storm was right over me, that I realized I had paused the TV because it was on stinking TiVo. It was from that Monday night. And I'm standing there, I'm like, that was the dumbest thing, because I even hit pause knowing that I wouldn't have to worry about it. I'm a dork. Oh yeah, and this final one is from Will from Smart Bomb Radio. Excellent podcast, by the way. And it actually just came in, so Will, you might hear your feedback coming shortly after you left it. And here it is.
I am talking to the Newbie Category Podcast Peers Award winning Barely Podcasting. I feel touched in all sorts of places right now. Give me a moment. Okay. All right, I'm fine now. Wait, so if you want a newbie, does that mean I can call you a noob from now on? Damn noob. Anyway, keep your shows coming, and sorry we backed on your voicemail. That was not my fault. I my show was hijacked. Hey, you could bag on this voicemail. Well, there you go. It's a circle. All right, bye, man.
Will, if you're going to call me a noob, you have to remember to leave the phrase in award-winning noob. Oh, boy, yeah. Yeah, and you can see the nice little graphic sitting over there now of saying that I was the winner of the Podcast Peer Awards for 2006. Yes, I was in the newbie category. Then when I was initially nominated, I was under 4 months. I mean, I'm coming up on, wow, I am past 6 months now. I'm coming into the stretch for the full year, folks. Believe it or not, a full year of you listening to my rambling. Wow, I'm sorry for you. But yet you come back and listen every week, so I don't know. Is it me? Is it you? I don't know. And that is pretty much it on all the feedback. And Will, remember, it's award-winning noob. That's the only way you can call me a noob, and you started after me. So what does that make you, a baby noob? Please go check out all the podcasts mentioned on this show, because all of them are just excellent. One final bit, speaking of podcasts, I just noticed recently that I've been on a few other shows, not just as voicemail, but as an actual guest. So I'm going to list those out. I was on Psychology on a skit right in the beginning of the most recent episode, which is episode 19. Christy hasn't gotten an episode out in a little bit, but I've talked with her, and she has said that she's going to be getting a couple more out here, but my little guest appearance is right in the beginning. See if you can pick me out. Yeah, go check out Christy at Psychology. Let's see. Oh, the other one that I was on recently was Extra Points with Steve. And I know I really should have mentioned this last week, because that was the episode I was on. I was not on this week. I am such a dork that I did not actually make mention of it the week I was on, but hey, I'm a dork. This is what I do. But the extra points that I was on was episode 57, which came out not this past Thursday, but the Thursday before, which would have been the first Thursday in October. And it was an interview with me about football and how my strategy for my fantasy team has come through and how I am like the only team that's undefeated. And yeah, well, it's luck. When I'm being interviewed, I can't just say, it's luck. That just makes a really bad interview. Also, it doesn't make me look like I planned the whole thing out, which I didn't. All I have to say is, go Bears, because that's like my whole fantasy team. I've also been on, so that's Psychology from Psychology.com, Extra Points. And also, I was just on, and it was just released today, which is Sunday. I hopefully we'll get this show out. But I was also on, I was also interviewed for You Are the Guest with Bill Grady. I know I reviewed his show a few weeks ago. And yeah, go check out. I mean, it is an excellent show. And also, it has me on there. I'm on episode 61. So, yeah, that's me. I do get into a little bit of politics, get into some sports, and it was just a fun time. I talked with Bill for, I think it was almost 2 hours, and before and after we were officially on the interview. So it was actually a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed it. So check out Bill again, and I know I've reviewed him, and you can check him out at youaretheguest.com. Music on today's show is the song Welcome to the Show by Pilfa Confession Box, and you can find them over at music.podshow.com. You can go and check out the website at barelypodcasting.com. Leave me a voicemail at area code 206-984-DORK, which spells dork, and that is area code 206-984-3675. And you can also leave me an email at barely@barelypodcasting.com. And I think that's it. I will talk to you later, folks. How the hell can I do any work with this? This podcast can be found on some of the best podcast directories out there, including iTunes, Podcast Pickle, and Blueberry.com. Yeah, and Steve, going, I mean, that was blah, 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 blah. So I think that's it. I'm going to leave you guys now. I'm just going to blanket it out there. The music you've heard on today's show has been... I don't fucking know what the music is on today's show. I am a tard. Did I even put it into iTunes? I did. Oh, hey, there it is. I did put it in there. This is going to make the blooper reel because I am such a tard. The music on today's show is Welcome to the Show by Pilfa Confession. Is that Pilfa? Man, I am such a tard on this one. Wow, this is going to be a very long blooper reel because I'm I'm such an idiot. Blah, 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 blah. And just for Corby, monkeys! Music on today's show is the song Welcome to the Show by Pilfa Confection. They make stinking chocolates. On today's show, we have Camper, or blah, 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 blah.